There is a very specific kind of comfort that we all rely on when it comes to modern medicine.
Yeah, that sort of unspoken contract.
Right. It's this assumption we have. We just assume that if a bottle of pills is sitting on a pharmacy shelf or if a doctor is handing it out during an outbreak, it's there because we know for a fact that it works.
Absolutely. You assume the homework has been done.
Exactly. We think the system has stress tested the solution until it broke, and well, this is what
It's the
survived.
bedrock of trust in public health, honestly. You assume the system has essentially proofed the work before you ever even see the product.
But in the world of biodefense and pandemic response, that assumption gets a little complicated. We don't always have the luxury of decades of data.
No, we definitely don't.
Sometimes we're operating on what you might call a best guess based on biology, but not necessarily on human proof.
That's the fog of war aspect of medicine, really. We have models, we have theories, and we have proxies. But until the rubber meets the road in a human body, there is always an element of the unknown. And today we are looking at a moment where the fog lifted and the landscape looked very, very different than we expected.
So we are doing a deep dive today into the definitive data on tecovirimat, which is better known by its brand name, TPOXX.
Right, TPOXX.
The last couple of years, this has been the big antiviral hope for treating mpox. It was the thing we reached for when the outbreak went global.
Specifically, the clade 2 variant that spread through Europe and the Americas, and that distinction is going to matter a lot as we get deeper into this.
It is. Because we finally got the results of the big one, the Phase 3 international randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial.
The gold standard.
Exactly. This isn't just an observational, we think it helps kind of study or collection of case reports. This is the heavy artillery of evidence.
And the results are going to force a lot of people to rewrite their assumptions, not just about TPOXX, but about how we approve drugs for rare and dangerous viruses in the first place.
Yeah.
This is a story about the disconnect between laboratory promise and clinical reality.
So our mission for this deep dive is to unpack this disconnect for you. We need to look at how TPOXX got approved using the FDA's animal rule, and then compare that to the cold hard data of how it actually performed in human beings during the clade 2 outbreak.
Because the difference between the two is staggering.
It really is.
And for you listening, this is really a lesson in the natural history of disease. It's about understanding that sometimes doing something,
Like taking a pill or intervening.
right, taking a pill is actually no better than doing nothing and just letting the body do its work.
Let's start with the protagonist here, which is tecovirimat. Before we get to the trial results, we really need to understand the mechanism. What is this drug actually supposed to be doing inside the body? Because the theory is pretty sound, right?
Oh, the theory is incredibly elegant. Tecovirimat is an antiviral that targets a very specific protein on the surface of the virus. It's the VP37 protein.
Okay, and what does that mean in plain English?
In plain English, it prevents the virus from exiting the infected cell and spreading to the next one. It essentially traps the virus inside the cell so the infection can't cascade through the body.
Got it. So it's like locking the doors of the factory so the product can't get out.
Exactly.
And crucially, it was originally designed for smallpox, which is the cousin of mpox.
Correct. Both are orthopox viruses. The machinery is similar enough that if you jam the gears in one, you should theoretically jam the gears in the other.
It makes
It's
sense.
a very reasonable biological inference.
But here is the catch, and this is where the regulatory framework gets fascinating. Smallpox is eradicated. We wiped it out.
Thankfully.
Which is a triumph for humanity, but a total nightmare for drug developers. You cannot run a clinical trial for a smallpox drug because nobody has smallpox.
And you certainly can't give people smallpox just to see if your drug cures them. The ethics board would shut you down before you even finish the sentence. It's a complete non-starter.
So the FDA created the animal rule. It's this regulatory pathway that allows approval if the drug works in predictive animal models,
Right.
in this case, non-human primates.
Right.
And obviously, if the safety data in humans is clean. So it's basically the FDA saying we can't test efficacy in humans, so the monkeys are our proxy.
That's the bridge we built. So TPOXX gets the green light because it saved monkeys who were infected with mpox. The logic is simple. It works in the primate proxy. The virus is biologically 90 plus percent similar. Therefore, it must work in humans.
And for years, that bridge held up just fine because we didn't have a massive human outbreak to stress test it.
Right. We had a stockpile of TPOXX as an insurance policy. It was there against a smallpox biological attack or a massive Mpox outbreak. We felt safe because we had the boxes sitting on the shelf.
Then came the global outbreak of Clade TA pancowpox in 2022.
And suddenly we aren't dealing with theoretical models or monkeys in a lab anymore.
No, we have thousands of human patients. Doctors are reaching for the standard of care, which by default became TPOXX because it was the only thing we had.
It was literally the only tool in the shed. But this created a massive knowledge gap. We had safety data, sure. We knew it wouldn't kill you.
Right.
But we had zero gold standard efficacy data for this specific strain in humans. We were prescribing based purely on that biological inference from the animal rule.
Which is a precarious position to be in. You're giving a drug to thousands of people, assuming it works, but you haven't actually proven it in the host species, us.
Exactly. Which brings us to this study. The researchers essentially said, okay, the outbreak is here. We can't just guess anymore. We need to know.
And I have to say, I appreciate the rigor here. In the middle of an outbreak, it is incredibly hard to run a placebo-controlled trial. There's so much pressure from patients and advocates to just give everyone the drug.
It takes a monumental amount of discipline to hold that line, but they did it. They utilized the STOMP trial framework. That stands for Study of Tecovirimat for Human Mpox.
And how many people did they test?
They randomized 412 participants across multiple countries. These were all adults with laboratory-confirmed clade 2 Mpox.
And crucially, they focused on people who were symptomatic. The primary analysis looked at 336 participants who had active skin or mucosal lesions.
Because that's what Mpox is mostly known for. It's the lesions.
Right.
That's the key metric here. Clinical resolution. If you have Mpox, your main concern is the lesions. They are painful, they are disfiguring, and they are highly infectious.
So the primary goal of the study was simple. Does taking 14 days of oral tecovirimat make these lesions go away faster than doing nothing?
Exactly.
And just to clarify for the record, when we say doing nothing, we mean the placebo arm, which is still standard supportive care.
Right. Fluids pain management, but no antiviral. Just the body fighting the fight naturally.
They used a 2-to-1 ratio for the randomization. Two people got the real drug for every one person who got the placebo.
Which is a smart design choice during an outbreak.
I always find that interesting, yeah. It encourages people to sign up because they know they have a 66% chance of getting the real treatment.
Exactly. It balances that ethical desire to treat people with the scientific necessity of having a control group. You still absolutely need that comparison to know if the drug is actually doing anything.
So let's set the stage for the hypothesis. You have a drug that stops the virus from spreading between cells. You have a patient with active painful lesions. You would expect the drug group to clear the virus and heal the skin significantly faster than the group just waiting it out.
That's the entire premise of the animal rule approval right there.
That is the billion-dollar expectation. That is why the drug exists. We expected to see a divergence, the drug group getting better in, say, 7 days, and the placebo group taking 14 or 21.
All right, well, let's drop the data. They measured time to clinical resolution. By day 29, which is a full month after starting treatment, what were the numbers?
This is where the animal rule meets reality.
Yeah.
In the group taking tecovirimat, the cumulative incidence of clinical resolution was 83%.
Which, in a vacuum, sounds like a total success. 83% of people were cured. That sounds like a solid B plus, maybe an A minus drug.
It sounds great until you look at the placebo group. The group taking the sugar pill had a resolution rate of 84%.
I want to let that hang in the air for a second.
Yeah.
The placebo group actually came in 1 percentage point higher than the antiviral group.
Numerically, yes. Statistically, it's a wash. It's a tie. But in the context of a drug trial, a tie is a loss. A tie means the drug did nothing.
They calculated a hazard ratio of 0.98. Yeah. I think it's worth unpacking that number for you because we see it in medical journals all the time. But the implication here is pretty devastating.
So a hazard ratio compares the rate of an event happening in the treatment group versus the control group.
Right. A ratio of 1.0 means the two groups are identical. The curves essentially overlap perfectly.
If you have a ratio of 1.5 or 2.0, it means the treatment group is healing twice as fast.
Exactly. So a 0.98 means that taking tecovirimat for 2 weeks made absolutely no difference in the speed of recovery compared to the placebo. It's effectively statistical noise.
That is wild to me. We are talking about the standard of care. This is the drug we stockpiled, and it performed exactly the same as the body's natural immune response.
It really forces us to confront the natural history of clade 2 Mpox. What this data is really telling us is that the human immune system is surprisingly competent against this specific variant.
So in otherwise healthy adults, clade 2 is a self-limiting disease.
Yes. 84% of people cleared on their own within the same time frame. The drug was basically trying to push a boulder that was already rolling down the hill on its own.
But let's play devil's advocate here for a minute. Maybe the lesions didn't disappear faster, but Mpox is famous for being excruciatingly painful.
It is.
I mean, severe pain, like proctitis mucosal pain. That is one of the main reasons people seek treatment. If I'm a patient, I might not care if the spots are there for 2 weeks as long as they stop hurting. Did the drug at least help with the suffering?
That was the secondary outcome, and honestly, it's the one I was most hopeful for. They specifically isolated the participants who reported severe pain. We're talking scores of 7 to 10 on a standard 10-point pain scale.
And what did they find?
The difference in pain reduction between the drug group and the placebo group was 0.1 on a 10-point scale.
0.1.
Yes.
That is imperceptible. You wouldn't even notice that.
It's completely clinically irrelevant. If your pain was an 8 out of 10, taking the drug kept it at an 8 out of 10. It offered no analgesic benefit whatsoever.
Wow.
And this makes sense mechanically if you think about it. If the drug isn't shrinking the lesions or clearing the virus faster, the source of the pain remains active.
That was the other thing I wanted to check out, the viral load. Mechanistically, TPOXX stops viral egress. So even if the skin takes a while to heal, we should see the amount of virus in the blood drop off a cliff, right? That's the basic chemistry of the drug.
You would think so. That's what happens in the test tube. But the study found no substantial difference in viral DNA clearance in the human subjects either. None. The viral load dropped at the exact same rate in both groups.
That is the most confusing part to me. If the drug works in a test tube and it works in a monkey, why is it failing to clear the virus in a human? Is our biology just that different?
It might not actually be the biology. It might be the timing.
How so?
Well, in animal studies, researchers often infect the animal and then treat them almost immediately, usually within 24 to 48 hours. By the time a human presents to a doctor with visible lesions, the virus has already been incubating for days, maybe even a week. It has already disseminated throughout the body.
So the horse has already left the barn.
Exactly. Locking the stable door, which is what TPOXX does by blocking that exit protein, doesn't help much if the virus is already everywhere. The timing of real-world human medicine is rarely as perfect as a tightly controlled lab experiment.
So looking at the scorecard, we have a total strikeout. No faster lesion healing, no pain reduction, and no faster viral clearance.
It's a clean sweep of negative results for efficacy against Clade 2. There's really no way to spin it otherwise.
Now, before we completely write this drug off, we have to talk about safety. Because the only thing worse than a drug that doesn't work is a drug that doesn't work and also makes you horribly sick.
Very true. And this is the one area where the trial actually delivered good news. The safety profile was excellent. This wasn't a situation where the drug was toxic.
What did the adverse events look like in the data?
They tracked grade 3 or higher adverse events, so severe side effects. In the TPOXX group, it was 4%. In the placebo group, it was 3%.
So virtually identical.
Right. This tells us the drug is genuinely well tolerated. It's not causing organ failure or severe allergic reactions. It's perfectly safe to take. It just didn't do what we hired it to do.
I want to zoom out and talk about the implications of this, because I feel like there's a risk here that people hear this deep dive and say science failed, or the FDA failed for approving this under the animal rule.
I strongly disagree with that. I would argue this is science succeeding. In fact, this is exactly how the system is supposed to work.
How so? We just found out our emergency stockpile doesn't work for this outbreak. That feels like a failure of preparedness to a lot of people.
It feels that way, sure, but think about the alternative. Imagine we never ran this trial. We would still be prescribing TPOXX to every single Clade 2 patient. We would be spending millions of dollars on a drug that does nothing. We would be exposing patients to a treatment burden without any actual benefit.
And it wouldn't be looking for anything else.
Precisely. As long as we assume TQXX is the silver bullet, there is absolutely no urgency to find a better gun. Now the knowledge gap is filled. We know it doesn't work for Clade 2. This lights a massive fire under the research community to find a molecule that actually beats the placebo.
It clears the board. It stops the false hope.
And it prevents resource waste. During a pandemic, medical resources are incredibly finite. If we know definitively that drug A doesn't provide a benefit over natural recovery, we can stop stockpiling it for that specific use case.
There's a very important nuance we need to hit, though, before we wrap up. We keep saying Clade 2. And the study authors were very, very specific about this in their conclusion.
Yes. This is vital context. The virus isn't a monolith.
The outbreak in the U.S. and Europe was Clade 2. But there is a Clade I, which is historically much deadlier, found mostly in Central Africa. Mortality rates there can be up to 10%. Does this study mean TPOXX is useless for clade I as well?
Not necessarily. Clade I behaves differently. It makes people much sicker and it replicates faster. It's entirely possible that in a more severe version of the disease where the immune system is getting completely overwhelmed, the drug's benefit might finally become visible.
So if the body is struggling to clear clade I on its own, TPOXX might provide the edge that was basically invisible in the milder clade II cases.
Exactly. If the placebo group in a clade I trial only had a 50% recovery rate, a drug with an 83% recovery rate would be an absolute miracle. But in clade II, the placebo group is already at 84%. The ceiling was just too low for the drug to show off.
So we shouldn't throw the stockpile in the incinerator just yet.
Absolutely not. We need a separate trial for clade I. Which, by the way, is currently happening. But for clade II, which was the primary driver of the 2022 to 2023 global spread, the door is effectively closed.
This really highlights the complexity of one-size-fits-all biodefense. We have a drug for smallpox, so we assume it works for mpox, but then we find out it doesn't work for mpox clade II. The specificity of biology is just relentless.
It is, and it heavily challenges the animal rule. It forces us to ask, are non-human primate models actually good predictors for this specific virus? Or are there metabolic differences or maybe immune differences between us and macaques that we are completely missing?
It's a real humble pie moment for science. We can model things on supercomputers, we can test on macaques, we can have perfectly understood mechanisms of action, but until you do the double-blind randomized trial in actual humans, you're essentially operating on a sophisticated guess.
And that's why the randomized trial remains the Mount Everest of evidence. It's the only way to strip away the bias, the placebo effect, and the assumptions, and just see the truth. Even if the truth is disappointing.
Even if the truth is a hazard ratio of 0.98.
Especially then. A negative result is a high-value result. It stops us from going down the wrong path, and it redirects the entire field of research.
So let's bring this home. We've unpacked a lot of den science today.
Yeah.
If we had to distill this down to the core takeaways for you listening, what are we looking at?
We took tecovirimat, a drug approved via the animal rule for smallpox. We tested it in a rigorous phase 3 trial against clade II's mpox in humans.
And the results were stark, 83% recovery for the drug, 84% for the placebo.
No difference in pain, no difference in viral clearance.
But the drug is safe. It didn't hurt anyone. It just proved to be unnecessary for this specific variant of the virus because the human body handles it well enough on its own.
And it's just a great reminder that the human immune system is often the best drug we have. Sometimes the best intervention is just support, fluids, rest, and time.
I want to leave you with a thought on that animal rule we started with. We rely on it for our darkest nightmares. Smallpox, Ebola, anthrax. These are the threats we can't test in humans until the crisis is already upon us.
It's our ultimate biological insurance policy.
But if TPOXX worked in monkeys, our closest relatives, but failed in this human trial for clade II, how confident can we really be in the rest of that medicine cabinet?
That is the uncomfortable question. It suggests there might be some massive gaps in our coverage that we won't find until we are under fire.
A sobering thought, but one that proves why this data is worth its weight in gold. You can't just assume. You have to test.
Always.
That's it for this deep dive. Thanks for helping us decode the data.
Pleasure to be here.
We'll catch you on the next one. Stay curious.